Enough took the stroll one day with the master just in the world alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home.
See, that was a type. You know, there was a type of what's coming. Enoch was a type, and up here the road, just up the road here, it's a type. This is going to happen too for some people that are walking with the Lord. That's just going to one day, they'll be here, and the next minute they'll be translated, and they'll be here no more, you know. Like Enoch was just a type back in that era before the flood. And see, because you and I believe the word, that, like I see, it's a type of what's coming up the road here. That's the next, or the next thing in God's agenda is that translation, what they call it. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment and in a twinkle of an eye, and then we'll ever be with the Lord. That happened back in the days of Enoch. He walked with the Lord, and then God just translated him, and he was not, you know. Like I say, it's a type. All that, everything that's in the Bible is going to happen exactly the way the Bible says. But see, you and I have the understanding of it because there's six parts to the first resurrection, you know, and people, everybody who's going to be part of that first resurrection, they all have to fall in their lot. And we're trying our level best to fall in that lot where we'd be translated. For you and I, it's so simple, but see, we got to put all our effort in. That's why we do what we're doing. And that's why so a lot of people are crazy, because we're living in an upside-down world, and the things that we say are so foreign to a lot of people that they chill out and they put their head in the sand and hope it against hope it's not going to happen the way we see it. But see, the scripture has to be fulfilled. We're just happen to be honed out to do what we're doing here. And no matter how much mockery and how much they mock us, they did it to Noah too back in the day. Every time they saw, they automatically just started mocking him and making fun of him. And see, it's a type. And we have to do, to us to do the same thing. When they see us, they start getting a smirk on their face and start mocking us. They think they got a license and it's okay to mock us. But see, we're okay with that because that's part of the program, and it doesn't bother us, if you know what I'm trying to say. They're going to do whatever they're going to do, just like they did back in the days of Noah. They did whatever they wanted. They did whatever they did. But at the end of the day, there was the flood came, and Noah didn't have to watch him drown because there was no window. The window was up top here. And that's kind of a type too. We're not going to have to see them have to go through all the horror and the turmoil that's going to happen once that rapture happens. They're left down here. It's the same thing. It's going to just be a repeat And that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're trying to get people's sanity. And don't worry us when people make fun of us or mock us, because...
How else would you be able to identify with what happened back in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot? Like, how else could you identify with Enoch if you yourself would not experience it yourself? Like, it's impossible to be able to identify with that environment unless you are in that environment yourself. And then we walk through it in this day and age, what they walk through in their day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same concept. Even when Jesus was here, they did not recognize the day of their visitation. They did not recognize that their Messiah was here, and therefore they missed it. And that's what's happening in this generation. People are missing it because they do not know the hour they're living in.
Yeah, if they really know and believe us, we've got some people tapping in, but if they really believe us, we used to have that, Hutterite gap, they used to have a thing where you have to be invited and you get on there, but they kicked us off, you know, they wouldn't let us go on there anymore. I don't know how it works. You have to be invited.
Mm-hmm.
We were still on there. We would put these messages on that thing, that Hutterite, that they could tap in and listen to it. But see, we can't. Somebody has to invite you, and nobody invites us, so we can't be on there. But it'd be a good, if people believe what we're saying, they would do that. You know what I'm saying? You just got to believe it. Like, we believe it wholeheartedly. That's our life. That's all we've ever done. That's all we've ever been into. Ever since I was 7 years old, the Lord started dealing with me. And I remember if it was yesterday. And the Lord has dealt with me all our life to prepare us for exactly what we're doing here today. And like I say, we should do a lot more, but... You know, as it was in the days of Noah. Noah preached for 100 years and all to no avail, you know, and then that flood came and took them all away. And here's the same thing. It's just a type of what Enoch went through and what Noah went through. Enoch walked with God and he was not. There's people here right now on planet Earth, they're walking with God and one day they'll be not, you know, just that simple. And then there's people that want to be left here and then they want to have to give their life or... And do whatever, you know, they're going to have to get their head chopped off. There's different resurrection. There are different lots where people fall in because he told Daniel, you'll stand with your lot. The same thing here today. For you and I, everything is so simple because we got the whole counsel of God. Oh, may good days give us now and Jesus dear our gate be made. Sailing through bandits to shower and thy sublime and avidly.
Jesus Highland, mine sailing, last undone, Bruce McFlynn, Daddy Moss, and the eruption of Tibet, oh, be good, dear Patrawan, yes, dear, and gave me, sailing through bandits to shower. Thine sublime and avidly. Fill me on in Lebensstürmen, peaceful land, that is my love. Fear me, song, sing of often, name that my Messiah. Oh, be good, dear Patrawan, Jesu dear, gave me, sailing through bandits to shower, dying sublime and avidly. Andre zu Flucht habe ich keine,
sagen hof in nur auf dich. Lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur du dir steht mein Vertrauen, dass kein Lieber mich erschreckt. Mit den Schatten deiner Flügel sei mein wehrlos Haupt bedeckt. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus dir ergebe mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade, voller Sehnen sind in dir, o Jesu mein. Lass die Heilung mich bestreben, nimm gereinigt mich herein. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die den Durst auf ewig stillt. Sei der Borle meinem Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich.
Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Time is filled with swift transition. Not on earth the move can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years will bring, if thy earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Bear your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain that heavenly treasure. They will
never pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Bear your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright your home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Bear your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes upon the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How I long to be with Jesus, and our loved ones gone before. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. We're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes upon the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How I long to be with Jesus and our loved ones gone before. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. We're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes upon the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How I long to be with Jesus and our loved ones gone before. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet.
Like I was saying, the things that we say, it's so far. it's just the way it is. It's a completely different chapter from what the world is about. I was reading here. I think it's in Isaiah 34.
Judgment on the nations.
Yeah, I got this program on my phone here, Bible Gateway, and I read the 2-3 chapters every day, and the 1-3 in the Old Testament, and then one in the New, and I came to Isaiah 34, and I read it lots of times, but it just hit me. Isaiah 34, judgment on the nations. See that, when you look back in 6,000 years of history, that we've been here for practically 6,000 years now, see, the time is running to an end. And the judgment on the nations really has really never happened to the extent that this is going to happen. This is just up the road here. And I just happened to read it yesterday. And because, like I say, I read 2-3 chapters every day. And it says here, come near you nations and listen. Pay attention, you prophets. Pay attention, you people. The earth and everything it contains must listen. Like, this is the Lord speaking. The world and everything that lives in it. For the Lord is angry at all the nations and furious with all their armies. He will annihilate them and slaughter them. That has never 6,000 years of this. well, before the flood, yeah. But after the flood, this has really never taken place, where he's angry at all the nations, and he's going to completely annihilate them. That's what it says here. He will annihilate them and slaughter them. Their stand will be left unburied. Their slain will be left unburied. Their corpses will stink. The hills will soak up their blood. All the stars in the sky will fade away. The sky will roll up like a scroll. All the stars shall wither like a leaf withers and falls from a vine, or the fig withers and falls from a tree. See, that's just up the road here. That's the day of the Lord, and this thing is happening. This thing is going to start taking place here, because the Bible says so. He says, indeed, my sword has slaughtered heavenly powers. Back to the day when, in the prehistoric, where his sword slaughtered all the demonic forces way back then. He says, indeed, my sword has slaughtered heavenly powers. Look, it now descends from Edom. See, it's all prophesied how Edom is going to get wiped out. On Edom and the people, I will annihilate and judgment. The Lord's sword is dripping with blood. It is covered with fat. It drips with blood of young rams and goats. It is covered with the fat of rams, kidneys for the Lord, holding on to sacrifice. And Bozrah, a bloody slaughter in the land of Edom. See, that's all been prophesied way back then when the children of Israel were taken into exile. These people from Edom, these Arabs, from Edom, they mocked them and they made fun of them and they went and raised them and they went and raised their houses and destroyed them. And the Israelites, they were taken into captivity and then and they came down to the rivers of Babylon. They were crying and singing, Lord, remember Edom and the day of thy wrath. And this is coming up the road here where Edom and Jordan and all these countries will be practically completely annihilated because the Lord, because of what they've done. It's all piling up. It's all coming to that. And before it's all over, it's going to happen exactly what it is. But it says here, slaughter in the land of Edom. Wild oxen will be slaughtered along with them, as well as strong bulls. The land is drenched with blood, and you can see it over, I think it's in Isaiah 63, where it says, where did how come your blood is stained with garment? And it's gonna be fulfilled, where the Lord goes in, and he slaughters, and does a slaughter in Bozrah, and Gaza there, where the whole world is up in arms about Gaza. When God's gonna be done with Gaza, there'll be nobody left because the Bible says Gaza will be left desolate. Their land is drenched with blood. Their soil is covered with fat. For the Lord has planned a day of revenge, a time when he will repay Edom for her hostility towards Zion, like I said, towards Israel when they were taken into captivity. That's all piling up and piling up. God is just pushing it ahead for the day of the Lord when this is just up the road here. You're going to see it happening because the Bible says so. Edom heard for the hostility towards the children of Israel. Edom's streams will be turned into pitch and her soil into brimstone. Her land will become burning pitch. Night and day it will burn, its smoke will ascend continually, generation after generation. It will be a wasteland, and no one will be even pass through it again. It's up the road here. Owls and wild animals will live there. All kinds of wild birds will settle in it. The Lord will stretch out over the measure like the rain and the plumb line of destruction. The reason I'm talking about this is because right now the whole world is looking towards Gaza. This magnificent peace plan that Trump supposedly is supposed to sign here, peace with everlasting peace, he says. But I was very disgusted when I saw this thing coming, because I knew Scripture has to be fulfilled. It's not gonna, you cannot make peace with the tyrant. You cannot make peace with the devil. We've been saying it over and over again, that when you do, it'll suck you in, and they're later, they're just going back. This is just a temporary peace, and what these terrorists do, they're just stepping back, and they're gonna go at it again, because you cannot make peace with the devil.
That's exactly right.
And we're just reading the program here to yank people back into reality. Like now the whole world is dancing and prancing, and there's only two people in Israel that don't go for that. They didn't vote for that. Gwen and that Smotrick, they didn't like that program, because neither do you and I, because we see Scripture has to be fulfilled. It's not going to be like they say it is. Like all of a sudden the whole world is signing a peace treaty and everybody's happy, Egypt, and the reason they're happy, because the devil is happy, because the devil thinks he's got this whole thing wrapped up. But God is not happy, neither are these two witnesses over in Israel, that Smotrick and that
Ben Gavir.
They're not happy with that whole program, because they're standing by at a post of duty. They're like you and I, we don't agree with it. Even though the whole world is agreeing with it, that they can't, like everybody's dancing in the street. And see, we're just holding the fort. We're saying the reality, just like it says here in Isaiah, what I just read. Mm-hmm. That day is up the road where God's going to go into Jordan. Back then it was Edom, that Jordan, and he's going to wipe out that whole thing. Not everybody's going to be killed, but there's going to be a slaughter there. Mm-hmm. Gaza will be completely desolate, because the Bible says it will be desolate. And God goes in and fulfills Isaiah, you know where it is in Isaiah, where he goes into Bozrah?
Isaiah 63.
You want to read it, just
Who is this who comes from Edom, dressed in bright red, coming from Bozrah? In another translation it says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Who is this one wearing royal attire, who marches confidently because of his great strength? It is I, the one who announces vindication, and who is able to deliver. Why are your clothes red? Why do you look like someone who has stomped on grapes in a vat? I have stumped grapes in the winepress all by myself. No one from the nations joined me. I stumped on them in my anger. I trembled them down in my rage. Their juice splashed on my garments and stained all my clothes. For I looked forward to the day of vengeance, and then payback time arrived. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was shocked because there was no one offering support. So my right arm accomplished deliverance. My raging anger drove me on. I trembled nation in my anger. I made them drunk in my rage. I splashed their blood on the ground.
He did this come, this is waiting over there, where they're right now. Oh, everybody's happy, everybody's prancing, everybody's about to sign a peace treaty, and everything looks good and hunkadory and behind. The devil is glad of that. Even the tyrant, even Egypt, even these Arabs, even these enemies of Israel, they're rejoicing because, but the Lord is not happy with that program, because it's not in His Word, what you just read here. That's what God is looking at. His anger is bent up, and He's not happy with that thing. Neither is that Ben-Gavir and that Smotrick. They're just going along, and they're really not agreeing. They didn't vote for that thing. And neither did you and me. When I seen that thing here happening a few days ago, I was very vexed in my spirit, because I know that it's not a real peace treaty. That is a phony thing, and it's not Scripture.
That's right.
Don't read the Scripture.
Uh-huh. That's what's gonna be fulfilled. Like when you read Isaiah 34, and then you read Isaiah 63, and you can read Jeremiah 48, 49, and it'll talk about Edom and Moab and Ammon and how God's gonna judge it. judgment of Moab, judgment on Ammon, judgment on Edom. And when you will look at the land mass of what those countries are, it's the land of Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that Esau is in the land of Jordan. Mm-hmm. That's the Edom, the descendants of Esau. And then you've got Ammon, and you've got Moab. These are the descendants of Lot. So you have these three nations there combined in Jordan. And then God's going to fulfill his word. And there's nothing in his word that's not going to be filled. So you can make a peace deal. But here it says, and he looked up, and there was nobody that was with him.
You're right now. Look around.
Right.
All these nations are rejoicing. But what is God saying? He's all by himself, you know. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he said. He looked around, and there was nobody that would support him, that would be on his side. And that's the situation. It is. We look in the Bible because we've always been in that Bible, and we see it transforming right in front of our very eyes. Our scripture is being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bent up, like I said before, back in the day when the Israelites were taken into captivity, these Edomites and all these they were making a mockery of them, catch them and raise them, and then they went down and raised their houses and stole their wine, and then their drunken stumber, they just made fun of the Israelites as they were going into captivity. And exactly what I said, read here, remember Edom and the day of our captivity. And God remembers that. He's never forgotten that, and it's just coming up the road here. You're going to see a slaughter that the world is not expecting. But God's anger and his fury, he's going to do it, and he's going to do it with his servant Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's just exactly what's going to happen. The tide is going to turn, and like I say, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Now the whole world is rejoicing. Everybody's happy. I've seen it on YouTube. Even the Egyptians are happy. Even the enemies of the Jews are happy, because it's just a phony peace treaty. It's not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Because the day of the Lord, the day of his vengeance is just up there. We don't like talking about these things, but they're imminent. They're unstoppable. And we're just trying to warn people. That's our job. We're just trying to tell people what's coming up the road. It's not as rosy as President Trump is making it. He's a very optimistic. He says, me and she get along with each other and all that stuff.
He thinks he's best friends with Chi, and then all of a sudden, yesterday he pulled a stunt. Would he pull a stunt like that when you've got a good relationship with somebody?
Uh-huh.
Like, let's say we have a good relationship, right? And all of a sudden I pull a stunt. Do you call that a good relationship? So he is kind of like an unrealistic optimist.
Yeah. Like, we get along good. He gets along good with everybody. Because he wants that peace award or whatever it is.
Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
He wanted that Nobel Peace Prize. But a lady got it, I guess, from Venezuela.
Yeah.
That has been working.
The opposition party.
Yeah. Very tirelessly on democracy. So I thought, well, it was kind of for a good cause that she got the Nobel Peace Prize. So
they had to give it to somebody that's not so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
She had a week to give it to her, but it's all politics. But we're talking about these things because we're yanking people back into reality. The Bible is going to be fulfilled right to the T, because it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle to fail in the Bible. And see, the Lord started with us when we were young. He started with us when I was 6 years old. I remember it was yesterday when I went to bed at 10 o'clock one night. We had a visitor come, that Clarence Jordan from Georgia. He came and he had a speech. He called all the people together and over in the church building, and then he had his testimony there, and the whole area was charged up with a heavenly fear. I was only 6 years old. I did the calculating. It happened in 1954. And the whole thing was charged up. I remember going to bed, and I just said from my heart, as a six-year-old, Lord, if I knew there was a God, I would serve him. You know, just like that. And I didn't realize, I know it was serious, I know it's what I said. I just remember exactly which house I was living in. I know exactly where that, which direction the bed was laying. And I heard myself say to myself, if I knew there was a God, I would serve him. And the next day, I broke through the ice. Went down, we played on the ice, and I broke through, and that voice came back to me. You said yesterday, if you knew there was a God, you would serve me. Well, I'm holding on to your foot so you don't get swept under the current and drown. You feel my foot on you, you feel my hand on your foot, and then somehow, miraculously, I was drawn out of the water, so out of where I broke through the ice, but that stayed with me all my life. I remember that grip on my foot. If I knew there was a God, I would serve him. And then, like I say, the next day, the Lord held my foot. Yesterday, he said yesterday, if you knew there was a God, you would serve me. Wow. It, like I say, it kept with me all my life. And from time to time, I remember that. And that's all I ever wanted in life, was to serve the true and living God, because he kept reminding me. You remember you said, if you knew there was a God, you would serve me. Well, there is a God, because I'm holding on to your foot. And like I say, that has been kept with me all my life. And now here, finally, I'm 78 years old, and finally the Lord brought us to a place where we can actually serve him. And that's all our ambition is in life, is to serve the true and living God. And then he gives us this platform, and then he gives us this scripture to God. That's what he did. He worked on me. When he saved me, he wanted me to get up before 6 and read the Bible. And I thank God that he did that. I didn't do it every day, but I did once I got a room to myself, because my family already thought I was crazy, as is, you know. And then if they see me get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'd even think I'm crazy when I get up 6 in the morning and read the Bible. But once I got my own room, I was able to put the light on and read the Bible before 6. And I'm glad I did, because I saturated myself with the Scripture, with the Word of God. And today, the Bible is an open book to me. We can go back. And we're not saying these things to brag. We're just saying it because it's reality. It's our life. It's our whole being. It's our whole makeup. And the Lord knew exactly what he had up the road ahead, that there's going to be two people here in the end time that's going to say it exactly the way it needs to be said. That's why we're not very welcome here. When they see us, they mock us and they make fun of us, just like they did with Noah. But see, it doesn't bother us, because we're on out to do this very thing, to send a warning out to the world, really, because it goes around the world. It goes into every nation, every all 7 continents. We got it on the website, and it's the Lord's program. He dealt with us and told us to set up this website, and that's what we've been doing. And we've been having these conversations every day to kind of alert the world, and everybody that cares to listen, whosoever will, let them come. It's for everybody and anybody that wants it. We're not getting paid, because we don't want no pay. The Lord pays us better than anybody can pay. People, they get rich on the scriptures, but we don't even take tithes. We don't take no money. It's all free. And that's exactly what God has wanted us to do. And this very thing that we're doing here.
And it's very important to know the day and hour we're living in. And that's the journey ever since we were young, God, the God of heaven, has led us to. He saved us and led us to the righteousness for our day and hour, so we can know the day and hour we're living in. And that's why we can tell you what a peace deal with Hamas is not going to work. It's just not going to work making a peace with the enemy. It has never worked in history with the children of Israel. When you will look at their history, how God dealt with them, there was no peace between them and the enemy. It was either an enemy or it wasn't an enemy. And here they're making peace with an enemy, and we know that the Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, they're bemoaning all this, and you know, and they're not pleased with it. And when you will, we know what it says in Hebrews, It says in Hebrews 12:27, and this word yet once more signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken will remain. So those things, you can see a shaking happening all around the world. Mm-hmm. There's a very uneasy unrest feeling all around the world. No matter how you look at it, if you want to look at it through big rose glass rimmed glasses, it might look rosy to you, but it's really not rosy. But what's going on is this scripture here. There's a shaking going on, and only those things that are in the Word of God that are the ones that will remain standing. That's why all our lives we have made sure that we lined up with the scripture, with God's Word, because in the end, it's only those things, God's Word will remain standing. Not this peace deal. It's not going to remain standing, because we don't see that happening in the scripture. We see Isaiah 34. We see Isaiah 63. We see the ones in Jeremiah where Moab and Ammon and Edom are going to be judged, and Babylon and Egypt and these countries. And there, God's going to do something. He's going to do a great and mighty work, just like coming out of Egypt, he did a great and mighty work, and he's going to do great and mighty things here again.
It's all up the road, mm-hmm. and it's already in the making. But people, they don't see what we're seeing, because we've always been in the Word. That's what the Lord honed us out. That's what he prepared us for. He prepared us for this day so that there can be a voice in the world, a voice in the wilderness that'll tell people exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. It won't be a phony peace deal. It'll be reality. And when this thing came about with that phony peace, and my spirit was very vexed. I couldn't sleep at night because I know it's not real. It's not scripture. And so was that Ben-Gavir and that Spatrick. They were very troubled with that thing. But they didn't vote for it. They didn't go along with it because they know the scripture just like you and I know the scripture. We know exactly what's coming over the world. Mm-hmm. This shaking and vaulting. This phony peace deal, it's not going to work, because the Bible says when they say peace and safety, right now the whole world, they're even dancing in the street. Oh, peace and safety. And then sudden destruction. Mm-hmm. It's just up the road here, and we're just warning the people. Yeah, I would love to be able to say peace and safety and all that, what the world is dancing to. But see, we've been in this Word all our life. We know reality for what it is. And we say, and we keep saying, if it did not originate in heaven, it's not going to pull off. It's not going to happened, because like we said about George Washington's vision, that angel came down and he told George Washington exactly what's coming over America. Mm-hmm. And no matter how you cover it up, it's like we keep saying, everything that's going to stand has to originate from heaven. And then that angel came down and gave George Washington the script, the blueprint for America. This is what we are doing. We are establishing a nation, a country, on planet Earth, that's gonna be that shining city on a hill. And then they give them the bird back at that War of Independence, and then they give the process. The process has been going on for 250 years, and then now here at the end of it all, it's gonna be the destiny of America. And you're going to see that civil war, God's got a clean house. And when it's all over and done with all that filth and all that garbage that's going on in America, he's going to clean house. And then the end of it all, it's going to be a shining city on a hill via the scriptures. That's why we keep saying, if it's not in the Bible, we're not interested. That's why we're not rejoicing with the world. Mm-hmm. We're not happy about that peace treaty, because we know it's not going to last. And we're just, like I say, I just happened to come upon this Isaiah 34. I might have read it before, but it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Edom and everything that has been prophesied is going to happen just up the road here. So mm-hmm. don't fasten your seatbelt just yet, because it's going to happen the way the Bible says. We just happen to, all our lives, we just happen to be in that Word, and we consume and saturated ourselves with the Word of God. And it's going to happen exactly the way we see it. Because, mm-hmm. like I say, there's not one title. It's going to have, it's going to vanish without it being fulfilled.
That's right.
And I know we talk plan. That's why I said the things we say, they're not very popular. People don't want to hear. So they figure we chill out, push our head in the sand, it ain't going to happen. But I like to be forward. I like to see a stop sign when I come up to an intersection, because I drive sometimes in the country and there's a stop sign. But if I need to know there's a warning. If I go through that stop sign, a car might come along and hit me, you know. That's all we're doing. We're sending out a warning sign, a stop sign, a yield sign, and that's our job. And people don't want to pay attention. They put their head in the sand and think it's not going to happen just because we're seeing it, and they think they got a lie to make a mockery of us. Well, that's all right, because at the end of the day, it's going to happen exactly the way the Bible says so, and that's all we're doing. We're just telling people what's coming up the road, and we're telling them the reality of the thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We just read your Word, Lord, and we know what your Word has to prophesy about the hour and time that we're now living in, about the judgment of Edom and of Ammon and Moab and all these countries, Lord, that have builded up a hatred against your people, and the day of vengeance is in your heart. And we know that the scripture will be fulfilled, and we're living in that time period where you will exercise your great wrath upon those nations that have forsaken and hated you. We just pray, Lord, that you'll stir the minds and the hearts of the people, that they will want to know, Lord, what hour and time we're living in, so that they can too be prepared for your coming. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.